The Creative Writer's Way.
Writing is fundamental. It is our way. From stories come history. From history comes belonging. From belonging comes a sense of where we were, where we are, and where we are going. This is the foundation of civilization.
This is Dr. Schuyler Madison. Find your story at SchuylerMadison.com.
This is Dr. Schuyler Madison Fontana, and you are listening to The Creative Writer's Way. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with author Linda Ballou. Linda has published some diverse writings, including Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon, Why Nani, A Voice from Old Hawaii, and her travel writing that comes under the title of The Lost Angel. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Schuyler. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for bringing your wisdom and inspiration to us. I'd like to talk a little bit about your backstory, how you got into writing and what, you know, that's all about. It's fascinating.
Well, that always makes me laugh because I always say that the story behind every writer is a sad little childhood. So, you know, I started journaling when I was a teen because I lived in Alaska. Or my parents rudely uprooted me when I was 13 and took me to Alaska, to a very small town where I was a misfit, basically. And so I turned to books, and I became, you know, an avid reader, and then readers turned into writers, and I ended up getting a degree in English in California, and I've been writing all my life, but I published my first book in 2009. That was Wainani, A Voice from Old Hawaii.
Right. So interesting. And, yeah, reading is definitely one of the best kind of educations into writing, but not everybody that reads can write, and you can write. So tell me, what inspires you? How do you have some diverse things, and a sad childhood's interesting, but, you know, what we do is we take lemons and turn them into lemonade, and it creates fodder for our stories, and I love it. So, you know, it's to turn something into something positive, and now you're a California girl. Tell us what inspires you.
I had tropical fantasies. So when I got out of college with a master's degree, not a master's, a bachelor's degree in English Lit, I dropped out of society for a year and lived on the north shore of Kauai. And that is where I really tested myself as a writer. And I got introduced to the Hawaiian history, culture, and lore. It was the bicentennial year of the landing of Captain Cook in the islands, and there was all sorts of events going on. And I was introduced to Kahahumanu, who was the favorite wife of Kamehameha the Great. Now, you don't know anything more at this point that I have to explain. I was attracted to her because
she was a real person, absolutely.
She was the most powerful woman in Hawaiian history. Right. These are the two best-loved icons in Hawaiian history. And she was a very powerful, independent woman, and she was a childless bride. And I was very drawn to her because at that time I was thinking about not having children and should I get married and all this sort of thing. And here was this woman in history who had, you know, just been a colossal personality. She was the person who put an end to the 2,000-year-old Kapu system, which, once again, you don't know any more than you did before. Unless that's why I wrote this story, because people don't know this
before
story.
Before you go on, what do you mean by the Kapu system, quickly?
Think of Kapu as taboo. If you broke a Kapu, if you broke a rule, you could be clubbed to death by the priests.
Right.
Women in particular had to eat separate from men, and they could only eat certain foods. They couldn't eat pork. They couldn't eat red bananas. There were all sorts of Kapus. If you walked in the shadow of a chief, you could be clubbed to death by the priests, or you could be used as a human sacrifice. You know, so it was a very, very harsh system. But within that framework, you had the Aloha spirit. So there was this huge contradiction, and this fascinated me, and I just had to know more about it. Hawaii, we all think of, you know, unconditional love, and, you know, no child is left, you know, unloved, and, you know, all this Aloha spirit stuff, which is wonderful and true, but there was just this great dichotomy, and I went, I had to understand this. So I did it. Wow. I researched it heavily. And as I got into it, I was a very big fan of Joseph Campbell. And he, you know, talked about how different cultures, the mythology of different cultures, are, you know, there are a lot of similarities. Well, yeah. You know, so I look for these similarities in the cultures. And Kamehameha the Great was born on a night when there was this fiery rooster tail going across the sky, and there was a prophecy that a warrior would be born on the night that that would happen, and he would unite the Hawaiian Islands, because at that time they were all involved with tribal wars, constantly warring.
Right.
And so I went, wow, that's like the Jesus story. That's very much like the Jesus story.
And then
and then it went on to say when he was born, he was spirited away and he was hidden because his father was afraid that he would grow up to take over his position. So he was hidden for 5 years.
Almost like the Oedipus story, yes.
Yes, well, it goes on to be more of a Greek tragedy as you go. And so he, like the Moses, he was hidden away, you know, and he was raised for 5 years by a mentor who groomed him for the role of being the warrior who would unite the Hawaiian Islands. And then when he was a teenager, he lifted what was called the Neha Stone, which was this, I went and found it. It was this gigantic volcanic rock, and not even the local Hawaiians knew about this. You know, that's another reason why I wanted to write the story.
I love your adventure and curiosity. Yeah,
even they have lost touch with their own history. And that's why writing the Hawaii story became very important to me. I went, you know, and I also felt challenged to do it right, to be true to the culture, and to present it in a way that Westerners could understand and not be offended. Because, of course, the Kapu system, the inbreeding was a very their culture called for inbreeding, like the Egyptians, to keep bloodlines pure.
Right.
That was another thing that fascinated me. They were like they were like Amazonian. I mean, he was 7 feet tall. She was over 6 feet tall because they were inbred. And I don't know. I just found the culture absolutely fascinating, and I was inspired by her life and her deeds, and went, wow, if she can rise above all this stuff, I surely can write a novel.
And from that
you know,
came
be
Wainana,
brave enough to write
your
novel, you know?
Yeah, that's so great. And so you said something interesting. You said write your stories and see where they take you.
That's right, exactly. And that's what I believe that. When people say to me, you know, what inspired, I say, look, just write, you know, just let it come out of yourself. Let it evolve. What's troubling you? What are you thinking about? What are you experiencing? Write your story. And then as you journal, you need to journal like every day. And I, especially with the adventure travel writing, which is what I do now, you have to journal while you're taking the trip, while you're having the experience, or you don't have, the details are not fresh. And to make people, you know, the goal of every travel writer is to give a sense of place, which is the same thing as a novel. You know, you want to transport people to the place, and you do that through the sensuality, through your eyes, your ears, the sound.
And emotion,
Emotions, and, you know, so it's like
sensory experience,
You know, write it down, reveal yourself to yourself, because that's another thing. You know, I've written stuff 20 years ago. My Cowgirl Jumped Over the Moon was written 20 years ago. It was a healing process.
Wow.
Yes. It was a healing process for me because I was a horse person, hook, line, and sinker, jumping and eventing and doing all this crazy stuff. And I got injured, and I had to give up my horse. And it just broke my heart. So my way of dealing with this, I had so much of myself invested in that situation. I wrote this story, and I wrote it standing up because I was in so much pain. I'd injured my back. I couldn't sit. I had sciatica. So I had to stand up at my breakfast bar typing this story. At the same time that I was writing this story, I was reading Stephen King's book on writing, which I think is one of the best books.
Oh, I read
that's
a great book. Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until I got to the end. He was writing that book to take himself away from his pain because he'd been run over by a van and broken all his bones in his body. And this was his healing process. And I went, oh, wow, that's very, so much synchronicity there. I was just blown away. But anyhow, yeah, Cowgirl was my way of dealing with the loss. And I published it in 2015. And now publishing that book has opened all these doorways for me into the horse world again, and I'm just thrilled. I just came back.
And you're riding again.
I'm riding again. I went. I just came back from British Columbia. I did a horseback trip up in the backcountry of British Columbia. I mean, you just don't know where your writing is going to take you is the point. I didn't know I was going to be a travel writer. I just knew that I love to travel and I love to write, and I thought, hey, let's put these two things together and have some fun.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I had determined that we tend to write about what we know about or want to know about and what matters to us. And, you know, part of the fun in writing is doing this research and knowing something more deeply or taking our own personal material and somehow transmuting it. And I love what you're suggesting because I actually think this is true, although really no one's written about this. You know, there was Pennebaker's work on expressive writing and journaling and how that can be very therapeutic, but not writing fiction. No one's really written about how writing our fictions, our stories, you know, is actually and can be a therapeutic experience. And I think it can be.
Oh, there's no question that it's a healing experience. My heroine did everything that I ever wanted to do, and she did it better than me. And I triumphed in the end, you know. I mean, it was like I had all the emotions of a winner, even though I had just lost everything. And it took me where I needed to go.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's this as-if relationship that we have with our protagonist. You know, we are kind of writing this book as if we are the protagonist. And that is, you just hit the nail on the head, why I think writing can be so specifically a story where we have a beginning, you know, that and then we have conflict and we have an antagonist and we have to overcome it. And then usually there's some kind of character growth when we come to the resolution of the story. Personally, I believe writing stories like that is a therapeutic healing experience.
Absolutely. So, I had to write Wainani. I became so part of her character. I mean, I was inspired by the life of her, but I invested a lot of myself into her character. And I lived through her because this is a place you can't go, you can't be there anymore. Ancient Hawaii is gone to us now. It's lost to us now. But for 20 years, I was living in that place because I was researching. Mm-hmm. The research is so much fun. I mean, come on, I went back and forth to the islands for, 20 years researching Wainani, and it was just a blast. It gave me, it was a beautiful mission, you know, and I met all these wonderful people. All the elders in the Hawaiian society were very, very gracious and very helpful to me, you know. I mean, there was one Hawaiian scholar who told me if I published this book, I would get 200 years of bad luck, okay, because I was writing the...
Why?
The Hawaiian story. What a lot of nerve, you know, a Westerner, a Haole writing the Hawaiian story. Well, who did I think I was? Well, who I thought I was someone who really adored and appreciated the culture and did my best, you know, to present it in a light that was accurate, not just flattering. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a problem for writers many times. You know, people live in a certain area or they say, well, you know, you don't know us. You don't know us. How can you write about us? Well, you can be, as a writer, you can be much more objective about them than they can be about themselves.
So true. I think that's amazing that he would even suggest that type of thing, because I think the other thing is there's something important about this old Hawaii story that matters to us today. And when we can kind of write things that also speak to what's going on today, do you want to speak a little bit about indigenous
cultures? The fact is that since the 1970s, there's been a resurgence in Hawaii to bring back the indigenous culture. And this guy, Dwayne Rock Johnson, you may know him. He's an actor who's played in many, many big He-Man parts. And he wants to be Kamehameha the Great, and he actually loves the islands. He's Samoan. Now the Hawaiians are saying, how come you get to be Kamehameha? You're not Hawaiian. He says, but I love the islands, and I love the character.
Right.
And he's got Warner Brothers behind him, and they're going to start shooting in 2020. And so there definitely is a contemporary love of the islands, you know. I mean, I don't know how many millions of people go to the islands every year. But they really don't know the culture. You know, they just don't. So Dwayne is going to bring it to the fore. And my book is about Kamehameha's favorite wife. So hopefully, you know, people will be interested in my book as well.
It's a great read. I really recommend it highly. It's fascinating. And, you know, I think it's also interesting. Didn't you write something about places in Hawaii, old Hawaii, where you can visit? And
I have, if you buy Wainani on my site, I will give you Wainani's Wayfinder. And what it is it's a map of the Big Island, which was the culture of the center of the culture at the time of Kamehameha the Great. And so the Big Island is riddled with sacred sites, but not just the Big Island. Maui, there are heiaus or temples, or many, and even on Oahu, there are many heiaus, which are temples. And so I take people to the sacred sites around the island. So when they go there, you know, I mean, these things are not really, they're publicizing more and more. As I say, there's been a big resurgence. And but still, a lot of them are hidden away. And some of them are just a pile of rocks. And you go, what's important about that? Well, if you haven't read the history, you don't know. And some of them are hidden. Some of them are hidden. The Hawaiians don't want you to go there. Like they're the first in the 12th century. Chief Pau came from Tahiti, okay, and he had a temple where there were thousands of human sacrifice. Now the Hawaiians don't particularly want you to go there, and they don't particularly publicize it. But I have it on my map. It's on my map.
And how can people find that? Can you give your website in case someone wants to go there and buy that and your book?
Sure. It's Linda Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, author.com. So LindaBallouAuthor.com takes you to my page, and you can purchase any of my books on my site. And I do, you know, I'm happy to give Wainani's Wayfinder.
Lovely. And so that brings us into your travel writing and, you know, where you are now, the essays that you do and the Lost Angel walkabout. And you consider yourself a lost angel in some ways. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and the lost and why are you a lost angel? You seem
I am a lost angel.
Such a found girl, like
just like 17 million other lost angels here in Los Angeles. And when I came here, when I was going to school, I came here to go to college, and I didn't intend to stay here. I always thought, oh, I'll just go to school here and I'll go, you know, live someplace else. But no.
Yeah.
This place, Los Angeles, is my home now. And I really do love it here, and I am lost to it. You know, I live in Topanga Canyon, which is a little artistic enclave that's outside of the megalopolis. But I am, you know, an Angeleno. So travel collection is my walkabout, where I take people to New Zealand and Costa Rica and Alaska, where I'm from, Hawaii, of course, lots of North America, and I'm an adventure travel writer, so I do, you know, river rafting and hiking and horseback riding. So a lot of my stories are armchair travel. But the distinction between my travel collection and my travel articles is that the collection is travel literature. They're essays. You know, it's
oh.
what was important to me. Why is this trip important? It's not nuts and bolts. How, you know, where to stay, where to sleep. Those are articles
right.
which are on my website.
Yeah.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
That's the huge distinction. And I do have. I'm doing a video thing now. Travel tips for wannabe travel writers. So if people want to learn how to go through the back door and get great trips. I share that knowledge on my YouTube channel. What I'm working on right now is called Lost Angel in Paradise because I love not only am I here in L.A., but I love California, and I consider California paradise. I mean, it really truly is. I mean, there's just so much variety here and so much beauty here. And so I hike all the time, and people are always asking me to take them hiking, and I go, well, you know what, I'm going to write this stuff down, and I'm going to pick my favorite hikes that I go on in the state of California, up the coast, all along the coast, from L.A. to Mendocino, and I'm going to share my favorite days, and then I take people to a great place to eat after their hike because they've earned it, and I give,
That's
you
great.
Know, historical tidbits, and I'm doing it as a Kindle book only with so that people can, you know, link through to the trail maps and so forth. It's more of I'm trying to capture the essence of a particular day. You know, I'm not saying turn left, go right, you know, and so I link to the trail maps. So they can have it on their phone, and I think it's a really cool thing. I haven't published this way before, but I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you and I hike together and you take me out on hikes. And I got to say, it's one of my favorite things that I do here, you know, those hikes with you. And there is just something about being out in nature and the nature of, you know, this particular part of California and California in general and the area that you mentioned that you're covering that is just, it is like paradise. And so,
We're lucky
yeah.
enough to have the largest urban preserve in the United States, if not the world, Santa Monica Mountains. And it's
yeah.
just it's a privilege to be here. And I have a lot of friends who, as I say, you know, I can't take everybody out, but I can certainly share it through my book.
Exactly.
And so that's
yeah.
my fun thing that I'm working on right now. And then I want to get back to traveling and collecting more stories for my next collection, which will be Lost Angel Unleashed. What do you think?
Right, I love it. And what unleashes the lost angel? She sounds already unleashed.
Yeah, really. I'm actually eager to get to Australia, really eager, but, you know, it'll happen.
Oh, okay. So you mean adventures
yeah,
like that?
I'm eager to get to some big trips, but right now I'm focused on doing this one here at home. And last year I was in South America in December, and I was traveling throughout South America, which was really wonderful, and that's the time of year to be there. But it meant that I wasn't home for the holidays, and
mm-hmm.
and I kind of like it to be with my guy here home for the holidays, and it's beautiful here in California. This is the most beautiful time of year is right now, November, December.
Yeah, you're right, because it's not as hot, and it's just always beautiful. It really is. So tell me a little bit of, do you have any more novels in your, you know, that you're kind
yeah,
of gestating on? Or
yes, absolutely.
If you can speak about it.
Yes, I told you that I am attracted to empowered women in history that have been
exactly.
overlooked. And this mm. other woman that I love, her name is Isabel Bird, and she was one of, in 1865, she rode solo through the Rocky Mountains. And she was really a plucky little English woman and a real tough cookie. And she started she came from England, like a lot of people came to Colorado for the air, for the dry air. She had
yeah,
some health
healing.
Problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she didn't
mm-hmm.
stop there. After she rode in the Rockies, She went on to Japan and India and all over the place. But what I want to write about is her time in the Rockies, where she met a man named Mountain Jim, who was a desperado of sorts, but a very interesting guy. And I want to write this story. It is a love story. I want to write this story as though it's a memoir, first person, which is how I wrote Wainani, was first person, but not like a memoir. But this one would be, I would like to, because her book is a collection of her letters to her sister. And I'd like to extrapolate from those letters and create a memoir. So I've been doing character sketches. I have a little trouble with the character because she was quite puritanical. Her father was a preacher. And that's hard for me to get into, that mindset.
Right, yeah, got it. Okay. It's material that you can kind of step into and then from a first-person point of view tell that story. That's wonderful. And so what tips do you have for people who either want to write or who are writing, you know, that you've learned and that you can kind of give as advice?
Well, are we talking about tips about novel writing or about travel writing? Novel writing,
I think with novel writing,
which is a huge challenge in which you can't, I'm working myself up to my third novel because it's a huge commitment.
Yeah.
You have to focus. You have to be willing to not, having quite as active a social life. You have to be willing to research heavily and make certain that you are, you know, speaking accurately about whatever the subject is you're writing about.
Exactly.
You have to have an editor. You have to pay to have an editor. You can't do it yourself.
Definitely.
You can't be objective.
Right.
You must have an editor. You very possibly should join some writing groups and get some feedback. I'm not big on that. I just rely on my editor, actually, and my research.
Yeah, I agree.
I trust myself there. But I start with character sketches because your characters are going to tell your story for you. Once you know who your characters are, and then you can imagine in each scene, you can try to imagine how they would be interacting, you know, where they're coming from.
Right.
But you can't do that if you don't know who they are. That's why I'm saying with this Isabel character, it's hard for me to be because I'm against, running around converting people. So it's hard for me. But she had some attitudes like that. She wasn't converting people, but she looked down on people a little bit, you know. And it's kind of hard for me. So I don't know how I'm going to handle that in the real character's personality. I might just have to change her personality and say this is fiction and forget about it. You know what I mean?
Or that maybe
so
that's
you have
a wound,
to make those decisions.
You know?
You have to make those decisions about your characters.
Yeah.
And
right.
I think when I build a story, I have to know what the ending is going to be because I have to know where I'm going because I have to know how to foreshadow what's going to happen. And I structure the story like one chapter at a time, and each chapter is a separate scene, you know, with a dramatic spine, you know. Each chapter stands alone almost, you know, with a little sentence at the end that pulls you on to the next. But you can't have a bunch of narration that doesn't engage the reader emotionally, you know, and that's done with conflict. So not to get into, you know, too much of that stuff, but take some classes, you know, learn the craft.
Yeah.
Writing
or,
is a craft.
Or, as you started out, read other writers and how they
absolutely
write. Close reading.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right, and I love to read other writers.
Yeah.
I love reading. I think that's the biggest lesson is reading other writers. I love reading travel narratives. And I just posted a thing about my favorite travel literature books. I mean, Mark Twain was a travel writer, by the way, you know.
Mm. Interesting.
And so it was Jack London.
Fascinating. Right. He actually lived up in Napa Valley in St. Helena, and he wrote some of his best work there. I think he went there for healing purposes because it was reputed that you could heal up there. So once again, how can people find you and, you know, benefit from your what you've written, your wisdom? And I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to hike and that would love to be travel writers.
Well,
and these are all amazing things.
Yeah, my hike book won't be out until probably the end of the year, maybe January, but I'm starting to do posts on Facebook. I'm certainly on Facebook, you know, Linda Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U. I'm on Facebook, and I have my webpage, lindaballouauthor.com, but if you just Google my name, Linda Ballou, you will see a host of things. You'll see tons of articles. My webpage will be right on top. And on my blog, I share things as well. You know, I'm active in social media. It shouldn't have any trouble finding me. And, of course, my books are all on Amazon. Wanani and Cowgirl are both in audiobook form. Actually, I sell more audiobooks than Kindle books. People don't seem to be reading print books so much, but they like audiobooks.
That is true. Audiobooks are you know, fast taking the whole, you know, kind of novel reading thing. That's the way they're doing it. They're listening.
Well,
to them,
you know, people are commuting. They're on the roads, and you know, and I know they enjoy not having a block of time just thrown out the window, and they enjoy audiobooks.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
wonderful. Well, this has been absolutely inspiring and fascinating. You are a very interesting woman, and just a delight to talk to you. And just keep on keeping on, Linda.
I will, Skylar. Thanks so much for the opportunity to share.
The Creative Writer's Way.
To touch the reader inside is to tap into where we live. It is common to us all. It is unique to us all. Finding that path is the hero's journey. The journey begins with you.
This is Dr. Skylar Madison. Find your story at skylarmadison.com.